that 2% to light the candles and incense. Yeah. So today is the 12th August, 2018. Oh, April, sorry. We thought the trip to China. So fast, August, sorry. Yeah, April, 12th of April, 2018, Thursday class. Okay, we get ready for puja. Tammy, Eric, go and light, help to light the candles and incense. Go. Sui An give you the privilege to help light the candle and incense. Yeah, you got two more Thursday classes. Yeah, go. Then the rest of us can stand to get ready for puja. yeah, Sadhu, you are here. Help to light the candles and the incense, then we can start our puja offering. Okay. Let us compose our mind, develop the sadha, virya, then mindfully we shall commence the puja. Arahang sama sambuddho bhagava buddhang bhagavantang abhivademi. Swakato bhagavata dhammo dhammang namassami. Supatipanno bhagavato sakkasangho sanghang namami. Okay, you all can be seated. Then turn to page 1. We will chant the Vandana. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi, dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi, saṅghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Dutiyampi buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi, dutiyampi dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi, dutiyampi saṅghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi, tatiyampi buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi, tatiyampi dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi, tatiyampi saṅghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Panatipata veeramani sikkhapadaṃ samādhiyāmi. Adinadana veeramani sikkhapadaṃ samādhiyāmi. Kāmesu micchācāra veeramani sikkhapadaṃ samādhiyāmi. Musāvādā veeramani sikkhapadaṃ samādhiyāmi. Sūrāmeraya majjhapamādathana veeramani sikkhapadaṃ samādhiyāmi. Now we are chanting the Padipa Puja, offering of likes. Ganna sārapadithena dipena tamadangsena tiloka dipang sambuddhang pujayami tamonudang. Ganda sambara yutena dopena hang sugang hina pujaye pujaniyang tang puja bhajana mutamang. Vanna ganda gunopetang etang kusuma santatin pujayami monindasa siri pada sarorohe pujemi buddhang kusumena nena punnena matena cha hotu mokhang pupang milayati yata idang me kayo tatayati vinasabhavang. Adivasetu no bante paniyang parikapitang anukampang upadaya patigan hatu mutamang. Adivase tuno bante pale parika pitang anukampang upadaya patigan hatu mutemang Adivase tuno bante bojanang parika pitang anukampang upadaya patigan hatu mutemang. Okay, now we will chant the puja, this puja aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all these puja offerings. Significance of offering of light to the Buddha. May this offering of light to the Buddha brings forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition soonest possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free nibbana. Making of overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits, born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculties of sadha, virya, sati, samadhi, and panya be further strengthened until they become balas or powers, sharing and transfer of merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, we wait for the latest offering. Just put it there. Okay, sadhu, let us rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, then we can have half an hour of meditation. We are off the light. And for those who already know how to meditate, you can proceed. I think everybody here before, nobody is new. Okay, so no need to have instruction. Just relax body and mind, silent. That is the real meditation. Maintain silent awareness. That's it. Finish. You need to train. Then train. You need to develop the spiritual faculty. You can. You can on your own chant and develop the spiritual faculty. Then you need to still continue with the metta and the mind-sweeping method. You can also do it. Okay. Okay, I will set the clock, the alarm to come off at about 30 minutes. Okay. For those who already trained their mind, very stable already, you just relax, silent, then let things be. Whatever mental activity, the random of it is still there, just let it be. Because normally after a tired day, especially when your daily mindfulness is still not that stable. There will still be some thought running around sankhara. Just let it be. It will slow down. It will settle down on its own. That's why when you understand, meditation becomes very easy. But when your mindfulness is very stable throughout the day, most of the time you are aware and mindful, which means you are heedful most of the time, then you realize this sankhara activity or mental thinking, they are not there at all. The moment you sit, relax, silent, you are already in the state of stillness, silent, the meditative mind. You can have that stability, that is very good. Then you just silent everything, relax, and maintain awareness. If your anapanasati is still very, very stable, you can go to your breathing. But by then, most of the time, your breathing is hardly any movement. It's very subtle. You can just stay there. Then develop the higher refined sati. Then this sati will come back to you, and you can detect even the very, very subtle breathing. They will become very clear to you again. Then during the time when you silent your mind and relax body and mind, any slightest movement or activity at your sense door is like magnified. You can perceive it with mindfulness, clarity, understanding. Then you just silent and allow the silent mind to be aware. Just aware, 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 and let things be. Then everything will slow down. Until your breathing also, the subtle breathing, when it comes back to you, it will still move until it's so subtle, like you don't breathe at all. Complete stillness. When you can realize the stillness of mind, that is a very good progress. That stillness of mind is paucity, tranquility, stillness. That is your true mind. So when you can silence everything and just let it be, this paucity will arise. Then this one can meditate, this one can understand many, many things. Then you just silent and allow the silent mind to understand the essential Dhamma within the former mind. They will keep on arising and passing away. Then when you are able to maintain this state of sati until it becomes very stable, then it becomes samadhi. From sati, it accumulates into paucity, then paucity stabilizes, it becomes samadhi. With samadhi, the mind is unwavering, collected, just aware. And such a mind can see clearly the dependent origination, the condition arising state. It can be aware of mental states, especially the seven factors of enlightenment. Then it can also be very clear about the five mental hindrances, if there is still. Most of the time by then, you will only have spiritual faculties without the hindrance anymore. Then after that, your mindfulness of the five aggregate of form and mind also will become very clear. So all this is part and parcel of the four foundations of mindfulness, accumulating from kaya into vedana, citta, and finally dhamma nupassana. So this is briefly what you're supposed to do. Just remember the four support: relax, aware, then maintain this awareness for as long as you can. Then after that, when your mindfulness becomes so stable, the silent mind becomes so clear, finally it will drop to your mind base, your heart. You can just silence everything and feel around your heart area, relax. Then you can detect many things because your sati by then would have become very clear, very stable, much, much more refined. So initially you can even hear your own heartbeat, the pounding. the vibration. And every part you lay your mind on, the city is very clear, is fully aware. You can even go to the stomach, the abdomen, or anywhere. But stay at the heart. You can just relax and silent, and let the silent mind detect the gateway. When it detects the gateway, you will know, because all of your yin and yang energy that you have developed, they will start to melt inside. And you just relax and maintain awareness. Then a lot of things will happen. You will understand them. That is the last support, trust. Trust your nature to do the meditation. No more thought, no more interference from the mundane mind. No more directing, no more of all those doing. Just silent. And let the nature do. Okay. Now I let you meditate on your own. Then when the alarm trigger off, I will ring the bell 3 times and you can slowly, mindfully come out of the meditation. And slowly, mindfully, come out of meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner mindfulness that you have developed. Then make use of these mind states, the trained mind states, to develop the daily mindfulness meditation. Now turn to page 6. We will do the invocation to the devas. Invocation to the devas. In this universe, in the entirety, let the deities and devas come here. Let them hear the good teaching of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release, Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Samanta chakavalesu atra gacchantu devata saddhammang muni rajasa sunantu sakamokkhadang Dhamma savanan kalo ayang badanta. Dhamma savanan kalo ayang badanta. Dhamma savanan kalo ayang badanta. Namo atasa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhasa. Namo atasa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhasa. Namo atasa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhasa. Iti peso bhagava araha Sama sambuddho jacarana sampanno sugato lokavidu anuttaro purisa dhamma sarati eva manusanang buddho bhagavati swakato bhagavata dhammo sanditiko akaliko ehi paseko opanayiko pachyatang veditabbo Vino heti Supatipanno bhagavato Savaka sangho Ujupatipanno bhagavato Savaka sangho Yaya patipanno bhagavato Savaka sangho Michipatipanno bhagavato savakasangho Yadidam chatari purisa yukani Atta purisa pugala Esa bhagavato savakasangho Ahuneyo pahuneyo dakineyo anjali karaneyo anutarang punyaketang lokasati sadhu sadhu Sadhu. Okay, let's be respectful, Jemma. Gang Pajami. Damang Pajami. Sanghang Pajami. Okay, you all can be seated. Just relax body and mind. Then maintain some form of attentiveness. Then we will continue on with our second session, which is reporting of meditation. Whoever who has any meditation to report, you just raise your hand, we will pass you the mic. Then after that, you can ask whatever question related to the meditation or the teaching. And also how to apply what you have learned here, the teaching, to help you develop the cultivation and the understanding of life to overcome whatever life problem or situation that you may encounter in life. Okay. Oh, today, very good attendance. Suddenly so many turn up. Yeah. Anybody? We will pass you the mic. Yeah, Eric. Hello. Just now he came back from Penang. He brought some goodies, offering to Sui An, to myself, and some he made offering, very wholesome. Yeah, he got a new job, a very good job. That's why he very happy. Sadhu to him. So he'll be moving back to Penang in, I think, maybe 1 month's time.
2 weeks,
one or 2 weeks time. Wow, that's pretty fast. So you no need to give 3 month notice. Oh, very good. Okay, good. Yeah, you can report your meditation or ask whatever question. Yeah.
I ask question. Yeah. Not related to meditation.
No problem. You can also share what you want to share, which is very good because what you have gone through, you are able to relate them so clearly. That's why your sharing will be very useful because it can give confidence to a lot of people because you are new and yet you can understand so far. So it's because your condition from your past, you have been in this negativity of mind state for so long and it have affected you so seriously until you were really very, I won't use the word desperate. It's like you are very keen to come out of it. You just know you have to come out of it. That's why you can do it. And you can relate to it because it has happened for so long. And all the sharing at that time was, like you say, 100% hit because you went through all those things that were related and mentioned. Especially the one that trapped in the memory. The accumulation part. That's why Mahayana say, cause of suffering is accumulation. When you accumulate means you hold on to them in the brain, in the memory. That is what attachment is all about. So to the Mahayana is you accumulate them in your brain. If you don't hold, you won't accumulate. The brain will not carry all this rubbish. But this is psychological memory. Negative thought process brings about negativity, fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow and lamentation, and all these are very detrimental to your mental states, your mental health, your confidence level, your what they call negative emotion, everything, they will be stirred and become intensified. So unless you understand what you have gone through and how you get yourself afflicted, you cannot come out of it. But for your case, you were lucky. Yeah, that session you came to my house, a lot of things went in. You can relate to what I explained because you attended the earlier 2 Thursday class that give you the understanding and the confidence. So that helped a lot. Very good. Sadhu to you. Yeah, now.
I got one question. Yes. I realize that sometimes I have ego.
Yeah.
And I don't know whether have ego is good or bad. And the egos arise in certain condition. Some condition occur, ego arise.
So you want me to answer that one first?
Yeah.
Very good. So what do you all think? Huh? He can see his own ego. So the question that he asks is, he doesn't know whether ego is good or bad. Huh? What do you think? Huh? A lot of Buddhists will tell you ego is bad. Not necessary, if you understand. That's why you need understanding. When you understand, ego need to be what? Huh? What do you need to do with ego? You need to understand it, isn't it? Huh? So ego need to be understood. When you understand, your mind free. Do you follow? This is very important. So it's not about ego, good or bad, like your thought. You understand? Thought is neither good or bad. It's the user of thought. You can follow. Like money. You cannot say money is the source of all evil. No. Maybe too much money can be a source of problem, but not necessary. Yeah. So ego, in a similar way, when you don't understand ego, then ego become problem. Can you follow? But when you can see your own ego, like what he went through, then it's a good thing. Do you understand? Do you understand? Not until you can root it out and liberate your mind. This ego is going to be there. You remember what I told you? Your mundane mind is also called what? Huh? Your mundane mind is also called what? Of course, the thinking mind, but apart from that? Huh? Ah, very good. Ah, tell me, yeah? Sadhu. That's why I say this is the egoic mind. Understand or not? Because Sakkaya Ditti is always there. That's why it's mundane. It doesn't have the wisdom. But when it is without the self-delusion, this one is no more the mundane mind. It becomes your true mind. Do you understand? Then when it becomes your true mind, that true mind can awaken and liberate. That's why with that wisdom connected to the form of mind, then this form of mind can become beautiful. Because this is the vehicle and the tool that you come to this conditioned world to do your work, to live life, to cultivate, to develop the understanding. And then this form of mind, through that wisdom connected, is no longer deluded. That's why you can leave the third phase of Dhamma, Pativeda. You get to enjoy the fruition of your hard work. Means you get to live the life of a noble one, an enlightened being. Yeah. Then this ego will lose its power. Because when you see this egoic mind keep on manifesting, then you start to develop the understanding of how you get yourself into trouble, how you get yourself entangled, how you feel the insecurity. And the reason behind insecurity is because you think with security you can be peaceful. Because it's very logical, isn't it? Yeah? You want to be secure, isn't it? Do you know this word or not? If you seek security, you will end up miserable. But a lot of people say, no. But if I don't lock my house, if I don't secure it very well, robber may rob me. Do you agree with that statement? Yeah? Do you agree with that statement? Very logical, isn't it? You think you buy all the expensive lock is going to make the difference? You think you put all the alarm is going to make the difference? If you have a lot of money, you flash around, I tell you, whatever you put also no use. They may not come to your house. They may wait for you to go out and your children to go out. I tell you. So security is a myth. You know what is a meat or not? How to spell that word? M-Y-T-H. Yeah? Mythology. Yeah? This one is, can I say it's fairy tale? Yeah? It's a meat, means not a reality. So when you understand, security comes from ignorance. Where you crave to be secure, you want to be safe, you want to be secure. And this is what the Monday mind keep on telling you. Yeah. So if you want job security, what happened? What happened to you? You work very hard, isn't it? You scared you will be dismissed, isn't it? Then you become miserable. You stress yourself up. Then you are under tremendous pressure to deliver. Understand or not? That's why that craving or the wanting to be safe, to be secure, cause you all this problem, fear and other things. Why can't you tell yourself? As far as job security is concerned, it's easy, isn't it? If I have the qualification, if I develop the understanding, if I can deliver, then they cannot fault you, understand? As long as you try your best. You don't have to worry about losing your job when you know that you have the, what they call, attribute to contribute towards the company. And wherever you go, you can contribute much, much more than what they pay you. Means you know your worth. And when you know your worth, you don't have to worry about getting a job. You don't have to worry about job security. If that company doesn't understand your skill and your capability, then it is the company that lose out, understand? Or? That's why you must have confidence in yourself. You must have this understanding that you must develop your own attributes, your own good quality, your own understanding of the job nature, so that you can be efficient, so that you can contribute towards the company's whatever. And that is a very important aspect of life. So when you know all these are nature's law, if I work towards it, I will develop the skill, the understanding, then I don't need to worry about job security, understand? Or? A lot of people will want you. Headhunter will look for you, understand? Or? Because from the way you do your work in the company, if you are good, a lot of people can see. Then headhunter always refer to the senior people. Hey, you got anybody you know who is very good at this or not? And then he straight away will tell you, you go and look for this guy, this company. Yeah? He see how you perform and deliver when you attend to their project or in the meeting and all those things. Then sometimes in their own company, the colleague will know, you get hold of this guy. If this guy can come over, you sure do well. But of course, the boss will not release you. The boss try to tell people, my staff cannot honor you, don't try to pinch her. They are not going to contribute to you. But he himself wants you, because you don't know your value, you don't know your worth. So when you seek security in life, it's the same. Understand? Or? You fear of death, you fear of so many things. You want security. That's why people work so hard, thinking that with money, financial freedom, they will have security in life. Maybe to a certain extent, yes. Yeah? Your money can actually help you in many ways. But money is not everything. Do you understand? Life is more important than money, understand? Money is a necessity, the basic need and all those things, and enable you to have the possibility to experience many things and do many things and contribute to society and everything. But money is not all of life. That you have to understand. So when you understand the Dhamma, you understand the nature's law, you know the law of karma, and you know how things happen, then you don't need to be secure, understand or not? Like the Buddha said, you take care of mind take care of karma take care of your life. Then everything is already secure. Do you understand? Secure in inverted comma through understanding, through wisdom, not through craving, not through wanting. That's why a lot of human beings feel very insecure. When you are insecure, what happens? You fear you lose your job. You fear you cannot deliver, cannot perform. You fear your girlfriend, boyfriend break up with you and all those things. Then when there is disease and traumatic, disease, sickness or whatever, injury or what, then there is fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow and lamentation. There's separation from love. So all these are the first noble truth reality. Then when you are insecure, all these negative tendency of fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, lamentation all arise. The opposite, peace, confidence, security and all those things, these are ceased to be. Well, when you have taken care of karma, you are very confident of life. You know things will go your way. Well, you don't have the condition for negativity to arise. You have developed the cultivation in accordance with the Noble Eightfold Path. So you will have all the good condition to reap all the wholesome thing that you have developed and done. You reap what you sow. So that confidence, that understanding will give you the peace of mind. You already train your mind. And you already know no amount of fear, worry, anxiety is going to affect you. So this part is very important. Then memory, always remember, don't go and accumulate due to self-delusion. Self-delusion means you think you exist, you think you are real. Then everything that happened to you trigger off fear. So memory is accumulation of experiences, good and bad, everything go in, including your fear, your phobia, your worry, your anxiety, sorrow, lamentation, etc. Then thoughts are respond to all this memory that you accumulate. That's why you have a lot of negative tendency. And this is what is happening. Without wisdom, because of self-delusion, this thought will become wrong thought or negative thought that will condition your fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, and lamentation and all things. And this is the wrong way to use thought. Your thought is a tool for you to come to this world. So use it appropriately. Do not use it to harm yourself, hurt yourself, and make yourself miserable and hit out at others. So this is what happens. So self-delusion causes this. So when you can see your ego, what is ego? Ego means you think there is a self. Thinking that there is a self or personality. So this self is related to the atta or the ego or the personality. This one the Buddha called it the atta. The egoic mind is called the atta. Atta is self. This is a Pali word. So ability to be aware of this egoic mind is very important. It's a very powerful understanding. When you realize that this trigger of the ego, the self and the personality, then you realize this is self-delusion. The Buddha called this a delusion. Means you are going to get into trouble. You don't have this understanding. How do you get into trouble? If you think you exist, this segmented form of mind that you come, you think is real, is really what you think you are, the ego, the personality, then what happened to you? You will develop what? Attachment, born of what? Because you think you exist, you want to? You want to own things, isn't it? Possess things, isn't it? You crave and desire for things, isn't it? You want to be successful. You want to be famous. You want to develop self-esteem and all this. They call it the very, very high ambition. But if you know that these are ambitions that you can achieve, you work towards it, then it's not so bad. But a lot of people don't understand. They want shortcut. Understand? They want easy way out. So they do not really bother about nature's law. They violate everything. Especially the law of karma. So if you do that, which is against nature, karma-wise, it will hit back. That's how a lot of people get into trouble. Then when they get into trouble, you know what they do? They go for what? They see feng shui master, change feng shui. Then if they see fortune teller, people say very accurate, they also pay a lot to go and seek their fortune. And there'll be a lot of story about fortune teller himself doesn't know what is going to happen to his own fortune. Then you go and see the medium. You go and see all those people that you think can help you. But at least Eric is more smart. He go for motivational course. Motivate himself and so attend seminar and talk to people. Which is because he doesn't have those problems of the past. If you have become fortune teller, bogus medium and all those things, bomo, all those things, and then he will go and see all these people. But because he didn't do any of that. But he did go to various type of religious way place. He even went to the church, the Bible study. He himself told me. He studied Bible study for quite a while. a year plus. So all this, it will not work because this is not the cause of the problem. The cause of the problem is your karma. The Buddha make it very clear. He said we are all born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma. And we are what we are because of our karma. So that one refers to the form and mind. That one refers to the human being. So this human being exists. You must not be deluded, understand? This one exists, but this one is not you, understand? This human being or form a mind is not you. And this human being got a mundane mind, got a true mind. That's why you have to understand these two. Then you will know how to meditate. Yeah. Then the mundane mind is the thinking mind, deluded mind, the egoic mind. Because this one without wisdom, it is heedless. The mind is not trained. That's why we meditate to train the mind, to develop the inner peace, the inner mindfulness, the inner awareness, so that there is positive energy, calmness energy, stillness energy, so that the mind is not clouded by thought, by emotion, by fear, all the negative tendency all gone. Just like what Eric went through. When all this negative tendency all gone, the previous Thursday class, he said last time he used to be very tired, very easily. But nowadays he said he can wake up early, do all the work, study or whatever, until late. He don't feel tired anymore. And there is clarity. There is confidence. There is what they call joy, understanding. So everything becomes so different. The course that he used to fail, there was one paper. What paper was it? Suddenly he said, with this new understanding, with the the mental hindrance gone, all these negative tendencies reduced, with clarity, calmness, mindfulness and awareness, he has the self-confidence to go back and study the course again. And he finds it so clear now, so easy to understand. Completely different. And it's only how long? Maybe less than 5 months, I think. End of last year, December time. But you actually came to me in January. End of December, January. You attended the Thursday class, I think, end of January. End of December. Then beginning of January. Then you visit me at my house on the 10th, I remember, 10th January. Then after that, later on, I think 13. Then on the 20th, you reply to Sui An about the new understanding. You felt free for the first time in your life. So all this is because you understood this egoic mind that created all this negativity. That's why this one was written when you came for the second class. Then this one, there was another version on here in red color when you came for the first class. That's why these two classes, you say is 100% hit because you went through all this. Yeah. And he can see how he accumulated them for so long, for 14 plus years. And during that time, that trigger of the fear, the panic attack, the lack of confidence, the low self-esteem, and the sadness, the depression, and all those things. Then he developed all the unhappiness. He started to feel that maybe what people say is true, what the mom told him is true, that he is really useless, stupid. And this one make him worse. Until that phobia, the fear, the panic attack is so intensified that it affected his work during his career time and all those things. Even study also affected. That's why without the Dhamma, all this will happen. But with the Dhamma, he can just, through understanding, retrospectively reverse it, then develop the appropriate mind cultivation or development or meditative training. Then he just came out of it. Then he said, like a plug at the heart there, unplugged. Oh, the whole thing is just gone. And he has never felt that type of freedom that can last so long. So all this give him faith, give him confidence, give him joy. Then tonight, I think before he go back to Penang, this one is going to help him more. Well, this ego, when you see, this ego is always egoic and very, very, what they call, I also can't find an English word.
Brother Theo.
Yes.
I want to ask, can you explain how understanding ego can help? And sometimes I don't understand that. Having no ego, is it mean that when people scold you, insult you, oh, it doesn't matter, we don't want to defend, or let them do whatever they want.
Okay. That is another.
No.
That is another aspect. You see, without wisdom, all those things like real understand, because you hold on to the ego, means you believe Eric is you. Do you agree? Well, your name is Eric, isn't it? Eric what? Tham. Yeah. So when people refer to Eric Tham, or when your boss shout out at you, or your friend, or say anything negative about you, sometimes behind your back, or sometimes in front, in public, and all those things, what happened? You feel it, isn't it? Then the thought will start to develop all this again, isn't it? How can this fellow do that? Who the hell do you think he is? But if you know that this is just a form of mind, understand that? Not me, no reality. This is karmically conditioned for me to come to this world, understand that? Then I got no more problem, you understand that? This body can grow old, get sick and die. This entity, the name that is given, is not the real you, understand that? The real you is your true mind, your true nature, which has none of all this. And all those that you carry in the memory is the one that causes you suffering. So through ego, you accumulate. Understand? You cling, you hold, like your mother did to you. Understand? So through ego, is it my mother? No. Also say that, no. My the other brother, sister went through the same thing, but they are not affected, no. Means you believe what your mother say. Maybe I'm really stupid. I'm really one. Because of this ego. If without this ego, all this accumulation won't be there. Who is there to fear? Who is there to worry? You understand? Who is there to seek security? It's the thought, it's the mundane mind, the egoic mind. And when this one ceases to be, the true mind arises. And the true mind, he know you, he know me, understand not? It's just clarity, awareness, stillness, peacefulness, tranquility, calmness. This one cannot have problem. You understand? That's how ego, when you understand, all this accumulation is due to your self-delusion. That's what I put here. Due to? What is this one? Self-delusion. Better write in red. Otherwise, you all cannot see. Yeah? Due to? Self delusion. Without self-delusion, this entity cannot accumulate. Do you understand? But what you say, people scold you, you don't want to, like, you assume he's not scolding me. Cannot, doesn't work. That one comes from the thought. Understand? Miss, I don't care. It's not me. What? From the way you reason inside, you already know you are still egoic. Understand? Because you say, scold lah. Want to scold, scold lah. Not me. What? Say only, understand? The real understanding is different. The real understanding is you smile. Actually, you have compassion for him because of his delusion. He did that. And he doesn't know that there is karmic behind. Understand? Ayo. That's why you must learn how to smile. Smile sincerely. Don't go and smile and make people angry. Understand? Like you laugh him. Huh, this guy, stupid until like that. Lah, huh? You smile. You know what happened or not? Last time, we all in the stock market. You know? Every time market crash, we all very happy. You know? We have opportunities to buy. Cheap to make money or fluctuation. So sometimes I go with my classmate, we all understand this. So everybody was misery already, lost money already. You know? Some T3, T4, kena margin call, chop here, chop there. Everybody with fear. You go in there, you laugh. I tell you, I warn my classmate, I say, you want people to chop you or scold you or tell you, oh, you better don't do it. Inside there. You want to laugh, we go coffee shop. Or we go and have tea. That's why you have to be sensitive. Understand? When people is in the state of misery, agony, you don't go and laugh. Even though you really make it. Understand? Why can't you just be sensitive, humble? Understand? But when you smile with sincerity because you have pity, you have compassion on you. Then you already love and metta. May the blessing of the Triple Gem be with him. May he develop the understanding of the Buddha Dhamma so that that delusion will never arise again. So that he can walk himself out of this delusion and develop the understanding himself. And all this is going to be very different. It's very positive. But if you continue to suppress, get angry, but don't want to say it out, just like Eric said, ignore, you know, I tell you, he can feel you, understand? And he also know, if he push too hard, it will explode, understand? You will just whack him and walk off. So, human nature is the ego. Without the ego, you are so beautiful. But doesn't mean ego is no good, understand? Because the form and mind that come, that one is your vehicle and tool. That's why the Buddha, you know why he left the palace? Yeah? To seek what? Why did the Buddha left the palace? And the wife after the son was born? Because he was seeking what? Not only truth. He saw the four signs. What are the four signs? Old age, sickness, and death. Then he saw a samana. Samana is a spiritual person. The first three, he straight away knew he has big problem. You all have seen people getting old, getting sick, and die. Huh? You yourself sometimes also go through. And yet you didn't wake up. The Buddha just saw the sign. You know, and he straight away knew he has big problem. You know. Do you know why he did? Has this ability because his past cultivation. That's why the moment I saw the Four Noble Truths when I was 17 years old, in 1971, I straight away knew, no need to search. This is it. Because this was with this nature's cultivation for so long. That's why the moment this nature see truth or hear truth, it knew, it understood. So what happened to the Buddha to be was at that time, he said, all those things that the father gave to him, the four palace or the four season, all the luxury, the good life and all those things, he said, got no more meaning. Why? Because this is not real anymore. Well, finally he say, this body of mine will become sick like that sick person. It will grow old and so haggard, so miserable, the senses failing with all the disease, everything. He said, finally he has to die. That's why he knew he has problem. Because ultimately he cannot break free from getting old, getting sick and die. Why? Because he thinks that body is him, understand? Do you understand? He attached to that body, thinking that is him. That is sakayadity. So underneath the Bodhi tree, how come he became enlightened and free? Well, he knew this fellow is not him, understand? The form and mind is not him. That's how he walked out of it. Then he just used it, understand? That's a karmically conditioned for you to come to this world, for you to use the functional body that performs the function of the Buddha. And this one is our functional body that performs the function of our dissegmented life. That's why use it. Do not be deluded by it. Do not attach and cling and hold. That's why the moment he saw that, he doesn't attach, he doesn't cling. What I'm trying to explain to you is, this form and mind, or the human being, or the Buddha call it the five aggregate of form and mind, even though it's not you, but it's very useful. Even though not you. Even though not you, but it is very useful. You know why is it useful? Because you need it to develop the you need it to develop the understanding and the cultivation. Need it to develop the understanding and the cultivation. That's why this is the vehicle and tool for you to come. Then, of course, for you to experience life, to live the beautiful life of a noble being, to experience all of the beauty and wonders of life, the pristine beauty and wonders of life. Then life becomes very meaningful, very beautiful. That's why this is very useful, even though not real. But you have to understand, need to be understood. Then this one can do what you want to do. Understand? You can achieve success. Great ambition. Become a blessing to all. Become even Samasa Buddha. All through what? Through the form and mind. Use it to cultivate. But this is connected to your nature, your true mind. Without this, you cannot arise in this universe, in this conditioned world. Without this, you cannot connect to your true nature. That's why this is equally important. Do not be deluded by what people tell you. Thought is bad. Ego is bad. Everything, let go. That is real delusion. Understand? Who let go? Deluded one holding, try to let go. Cannot. Letting go is a wrong word. Because without understanding, you will practice letting go. With understanding, the moment you understand, you will not hold. If you don't hold, what is there to let go? You understand? You see the point? That's why Kotlun smile. But you talk to normal people, I tell you, they're going to argue with you. Hey, I've been taught letting go, no, all the while. I practice to let go, you know. Let go my attachment to my wife, you know. Oh, my girlfriend, you know. Very mafan one, no. That is not the Buddha Dhamma. That is not the teaching, understand? No? Even your enemy, that is the reality. You perceive him with negativity, that's why the word enemy come out. Understand? No? He is just the way he is. Your wife is your loved one. It's just the way they are. How can you hate them? Just because they give you problem, understand? No? And you don't realize that every time the ego is there, because they give me problem. That's why I don't like them. I don't love them. You see the point, or not? When you don't understand, you cling. You cling to words, concept, ideology. But you don't meditate to realize the truth, to wake up, to understand the reality of life and existence. To understand clearly who are you, what are you, what is this human being all about, what is this ego all about. This is thought process, understand? No? Mundane mind is your thought, egoic mind is your thought. But the user of thought is very important. When the user have wisdom, this thought become pure thought. Non-attachment, non-grasping, no more delusion. That's what Dhamma is all about. So, clear. That's why I say today, it will let you have another level of understanding. And you go back, you will become different again. Okay? Yeah. Any more questions on this topic? This tonight one is very useful, very important. And now many of you can understand. Huh? Kehun, can understand? Or?
I was thinking of that.
Yeah, while I have a drink, huh? You go ahead. Yeah.
Just now we talked about karma, I think, when we refer back to my notes. Take care of mind, and the mind take care of karma. Probably my understanding. Yeah. Oh, and see, karma take care of it. I missed
take
that one.
Take care of mind. Mind take care of karma. Karma take care of your life.
Well, karma take care of your life. Take care.
While you try to write notes, you will miss out.
So, I would like to understand that statement when I thought karma is, maybe besides going forward, we also have past life, where we are. So how do we go back? We can't go back. So how do we change that.
I think you have to refer to the retreat notes. We have gone through so many times. The past is not a reality because the three period of time, remember not? Past, present, and future. Go back slowly. What is life? Huh? Life can be equated to? Before that, there's another word. To live life is to go through existence, isn't it? Correct or not? You have to exist to live, isn't it? So life is equal to existence. And what is existence? Time related. True or not? So, time we can define that. The whole spectrum of time only three. Past, present, and future. We cover the whole spectrum of time. Then if you want to understand life, you must understand time, how to use time. Past, already gone, no more reality. Why you want to carry it? Project it and develop all the burden. Project your thought and develop the fear, the worry, the anxiety, the accumulation and all those things. Why you want to recall all this psychological memory? Wait, I haven't finished. After only you ask, otherwise you interrupt the sharing. Then what is future? Future yet to come, isn't it? No more reality, isn't it? So the only reality is what? Present moment. This is what you can do to make a difference to your life. Like you say, past karma already gone. You cannot change. You cannot reverse. But you can arise through wisdom, the condition, to avoid the condition for its arising. Do you understand? Ah, then enough already. You are not going to change your past because you don't go and believe all those sip tai soi la fortune teller. You pay this package, you can clear your karma la, take away your sin la. You go and believe all this.
You always use the word, oh, you don't have past parami. So what does that mean?
Means in the past you didn't perfect yourself, you didn't cultivate all this goodness, this virtue. That's why this life you come, nobody is good to you, understand? Or kind to you, or sincere to you.
What do we need to do to make sure?
I already told you, the present moment is the only reality in life. Moment to moment, develop the training of the mind to be mindful, to be aware, to avoid all evil, follow the advice of the Buddha, we are keeping precept, and cultivate virtue, cultivate wisdom, purify. And this is how you take care. With wisdom, with taking care of precept, you don't arise new karma, understand? Then when you have this virtue, the Noble Eightfold Path, right view leading to right thought, right speech, right action. With this virtue, you don't set the condition for negativity to arrive. You don't get angry, understand? You don't get fearful, you don't get miserable, you don't get unhappy. So there is no karmic condition for it to arise. But the moment you create fear, worry, anxiety, this set the condition for negative karma to arise. That's why with wisdom, when you follow the advice of the Buddha, you become beautiful. That's how you take care of mind. Mind take care of karma. Because you take care of mind, means you train the mind to be aware, to be mindful, to be heedful. Then mind take care of karma. Because when you are heedful, when you are aware, you can keep your precept. You can prevent the arising of the wrong thought. You can abandon the wrong thought, wrong speech, wrong action. Then you can cultivate the right thought, right speech, right action that are still not in you. You can perfect upon them. So all these are within the possibility of a trained mind. And the trained mind has clarity, can see very clearly. That's why it can bring about great transformation. Then when your mind is so beautiful, no more negative tendency, there is no condition, even you got bad karma, so what? No condition for it to arise. Then even when it arises, you are aware. Then you know this is karmic. Then you don't subject yourself to all this memory, wrong thought, that allow you to suffer. You tell yourself, well, I know this is karma. Last time I did two people. Now condition arise, it come. I have to accept it. I don't get angry with that guy. Understand? So what you do? You do what you have to do. You did the notes for last Thursday. I amended for you. You didn't read.
Yeah, I wrote the notes
off, but I edit for you. I make it more clear. I say you did what you do what you have to do. Through what? Need to ask for forgiveness? Ask. Understand? Then need to repent. Repent and commit yourself. From now onward, I'm not going to do all this karmic negativity. Alright? Allow all this karmic negativity to arise. I'm going to cultivate according to the advice of the Buddha. Then I'm going to develop the ability to develop this understanding so that I can free my mind. That I can invoke power of merits for causes and conditions for me to avoid the foolish, be the or the wise, so that enlightenment in the here and now can be. So all this is the cultivation process that the Buddha taught. Then you ask yourself with the clarity of mind, what are my options? How can I resolve all this amicably? How can I move on? These are tangible solutions. Instead of going to project your thought, develop the fear, worry, anxiety. That's why I say no amount of fear, worry, anxiety is going to help you solve your problem. That was what you wrote down. Then you draw the chart some more. Now. Because this thing, like I told you that Thursday, it's not easy to go in. It's theory. But you slowly will go in because in your past, you didn't cultivate this way.
The past parami, right?
You don't have that past parami. You cultivate through logic, through knowledge.
Maybe I want to understand the word karma. Karma is okay, sorry. Maybe I
don't understand the definition of karma. Yeah, the definition I understand may not.
Karma is a law, understand? The Buddha says, there is a law that we call the law of karma. Karma got a lot to do with morality. It's called moral causation. No more place to write. Huh? Don't rub. Okay, here got some space. Huh? So karma is related to moral. Huh? Karma. Moral causation. You know why I need to use this word, moral? Because it involves mental intention, involving mental intention. That's why you have to input your mental intention. And this one, the Buddha called it cetana. Cetana. That's why the Buddha defined karma as what now? It is cetana that I call karma. Mental intention. Your mental intention will condition that thought into a karmic thing. Moral means you decide through your mental intention whether wholesome or unwholesome, moral or immoral. So moral causation means it's different from the physical law. Newton's law is cause and effect. To every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction. There is physical law without moral mental intention involved. Karma must have this thought. That's why it is a thought process. It can only arise in the form and mind that has this mundane mind that create mental intention, the content of consciousness they go in. So karma is a law. That's why the Buddha wants you to understand what karma is. This is very powerful. Where he said, you reap what you sow. Do good, begets good. Do evil, begets evil. So if you plant the seed of evil, you will reap the fruit of what? If you plant the seed of virtue, wholesomeness, you will reap the fruit of? Virtue and wholesomeness. So which you prefer? You want to plant the seed of evil? Follow Dhammapada verse 1? Now you say no, but throughout your life, you live life like that. Understand? Without you knowing it through self-delusion, you create so much karmic negativity. You know what is self-delusion? The egoic mind make you selfish, make you egoic, make you possessive, having craving, desire, attachment, clinging, grasping, everything also you want to hold. Your views, your opinions, your conditioning, your tradition, your belief system, everything you hold so tightly. That is your personality. That is the one that make you egoic. So now, more and more clear now.
I think it's clear. The main thing is that how do you practice all this in this world that you are? They are not like that. Maybe for the longest time.
Yeah, God, not like that. The world is always like that.
The world is always like that. The world is as it is. But we are trying to pick up all these good things and practice, right?
That has been all my sharing all this while. How to come out of this?
True. But let's come back to the mental intention. It's the very thought. If the thought is wrong, it's already coming.
Is it? When your view is wrong.
But you have no action.
Wait. When your view is wrong, there's a noble eightfold path start with right view. When your view is wrong, how can your thought be right? Correct or not?
But then we have now what we call the diversity in life, what I think may not be what
Wait, you forgot. You want to ask me, is there karmic when the thought arises?
Correct.
That's why you're so carried away and you forgot what you want to ask. This is very important. Do you think of karma or not? You say, I haven't acted out of it.
I think God.
Why? Why make you think God? Why, you so wise, huh?
Because it starts with the thought. It starts with the view.
Yeah, la, at the thought level. Wait, I teach you how to answer. Yeah, this is mental defilement, you understand or not? That's why that is karmic already. You know what is mental defilement? Huh? The evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion is a defilement. And in the Buddha's time, there is a Jataka story, you know. That's why you better be careful. There was a true story, you know, about a brother Te not around. I heard from Reverend Suwano. Oh, that one real joke. It seems there is a very, I think, quite a well-to-do family. A gentleman who was born into a family quite wealthy. Suddenly, he saw one. Actually, that monk was an arahant. No? Arahant. No? But so fair, no? So serene, and so like pretty. You know? Just that thought, no. You know what happened? Become a female. Huh? Then the story continued, no. Finally, he asked for forgiveness. He was able to do arms round to that family. Where he knew how he became like that. Then finally, he also managed to get into a good family. Then he knew this monk because he, with that, I don't call it lustful thought, that thought of desire, just one thought on you, pop, your gender gone. No? Hey, the Buddha say or no, not me. No? You don't think it's a joke. No? Then after that occasion when he was given that condition to invite that monk for dana, then he made the offering, then he asked for forgiveness, then he told that monk the true story. Then you know what happened? The gender come back. That's why I don't play a fool. Understand? Let Mi Fong continue. That's why I need people who know. Yeah. No, recording. Mi Fong, for the recording. Yeah. Oh, luckily Mi Fong know. So without Brother Te, we can call upon Mi Fong.
Hello. Not too detailed, but anyway, when his gender changed to a female, she actually left home,
correct,
and went to a different place, yes, and then he got married,
and got married, and children also.
And then later on, somehow
got conditioned to do the dana to the same
guy, asked for forgiveness and all those, and his gender came back, and then he finally went back to the original family. It was quite a long story.
Thank you so much, Mi Fong. Sadhu, let us rejoice. See, not only I hear, Mi Fong also hear. So you think joke? You can be a father and a mother. Understand? Correct, no? She got married after gender change, got children, so she's the mother. Then after that change back, he become the father. Understand? But he became the father and the mother. Understand? He was the mother. Then he became the father again. So you go and tell people, two fathers can give birth to a child. People say you're crazy. And thought, very powerful. That's why I don't simply think. You know what is hatred? Anger. You know what happened to Devadatta? You better read Jataka story. Go and write down the word D-E-V-A-D-A-D-T-A. Go and Google and find out. Devadatta threw his hatred, anger, because of the Bengal incident. He actually want to con the child and the old lady. The pot was a golden pot. You say not worth much. Maybe I give you, 10 or 20 Bengal. Then the old lady knew it was a gold pot, worth a lot more. He said, never mind like that, no need. Then they move further, they met the Bodhisattva, that time not the Buddha yet. Sakyamuni as a bodhisattva. And he also selling bangle. Then the old lady asked, because the grandchildren wanted the bangle. Then the old lady asked the bodhisattva, I said, how much bangle can I have if I were to exchange with you with this pot? The Buddha saw, he said, it is a golden pot. All my bangle is not enough to exchange. If you want, I can give you all. Then the old lady was so happy because he was so honest, so sincere. He said, yeah, I will give it to you. Then the moment he took the pot, he gave all the bangles to the lady. Then he ran off. Then on the way back, Devadatta saw the pot no more, full of bangle. Then asked the old lady, where is your pot? Oh, the other bangle seller give me all in exchange for the pot. Wow, he got very damn angry. He chased after the bodhisattva. The bodhisattva by then crossed the river with a boat, I think last time, must be a small sampan or what. Then he couldn't catch up, so he cursed and swear, you know, I will come after you life after life. You know. But he was so lucky, he cursed a bodhisattva. So life after life, he was born with this bodhisattva. But because of his anger and his hatred, he committed a lot of negativity or karma, very severe. Even that life when the Buddha arises as a Sammasambuddha, he caused Sikhism, he harmed the Buddha. That's why he went down into hell, suffer. But yet the Buddha predicted in the distant future he will become a Pacheka Buddha. So not so bad. That's why you cannot understand karma. But the Buddha say this word now, when he was alive. Karma is a very, very complex subject. Unless your training is really at that level, you can never understand karma. But it involves a lot of condition. Condition relation. Abhidhammadi tried to study that, but all academic cannot. This one you need to go through bodhisattva way, through aeons and aeons and aeons of cultivation to go to all the 31 planes to experience, understand, and then only you can have that understanding. This karma thing is very powerful. That's why the Buddha said, we are all, no, nobody is exempted, no. Born of our karma, heir to your karma, conditioned and supported by your karma. And you are what you are every moment, every instant because of your karma. In your entire life, is it dependent on karma? What are you waiting for? Waiting for what? Waiting for delusion to continue. If you are born of your karma, heir to your karma, condition and support, and you are what you are because of karma, means your whole life, 100% depend on karma, and you somehow don't want to take care of karma, you are waiting for suffering. Means you love suffering so much to the extent that you don't even want to take care of karma. So if you love so much, go ahead. Nobody will stop you. Your life. You hold the key to your own life destiny. To be happy or to be unhappy entirely depends on you. So choose to be happy. Otherwise you will become miserable. This is a noble truth, no? Prevalence of suffering. Without this understanding, suffering is everywhere, every moment, every instant. You cannot run. This is the great law, the great net. This one, the small fish also get trapped inside one. You think the big net in the ocean, the hole very big, small fish can escape. Karma, whatever size, also go into the net one. Because karma is a very powerful law. That's why I always say, don't play a fool with karma. Not until you experience it, you will never understand. The Hokkien word I always say, bo kaulu bo siong sin. It really hit you until you wake up, I tell you. It is a very powerful law. You cannot violate. The moment you violate, only the foolish, heedless, dare to violate. The wise one, they will never allow it to happen. They are not worth it. Oh, still got 20 minutes. Wow, today time like very slow. Ah, yeah, before. Yeah. Ah, can. Pass the thing to Mi Fong. Let her share and add that part. Karma, very good. Yeah.
Hello. Yeah. If I remember correctly, the Buddha also explained that, like you put salt in a cup of water, and
yes,
if you put salt in, I can't remember, a big basin or the ocean. So it's just like what Brother Dio has explained just now. If from this point onwards we always do good. Good deeds, we have good thoughts, pure thoughts and all. It is like adding water to the same amount of salt. And it will be diluted.
Yeah, bearable.
And there are also different types of karma. There are
very good.
That if it doesn't ripen this life, it will not ripen.
Yeah, correct.
There are some. So it goes different level. Yeah. So if we are able to continue with doing good, keeping our mind pure, positive and all, that there are some of the karma that we have committed in the past.
It won't take place. Because there is no condition for it to arise.
No conditions.
And what Mi Fong shared is very good. I just add this part.
Yes.
The Buddha, according to him, in his Abhidharma teaching, when you create a thought, there are total 17 thought moments. 17. Our Tuesday class is going to discuss that subject soon, in a few more weeks. Within the 17 thought moments, the first one is, you see, your mind, when it is not receiving any sense stimulant, is in a state of bhavanga. They call it bhavanga. You know what is bhavanga, no? Like a stream consciousness. It's like you went through that stream of consciousness flowing, but you are not aware. It's just like when you sleep, you go into deep sleep, you are in bhavanga, because you don't have awareness, you don't have sati, you cannot be aware. So what happens is your senses are open, understand? That's why sometimes when you snore, so you cannot hear your own snoring, because you are in a state of heavy bhavanga, understand? You are hardly aware. But when you are aware, you can hear your own snoring. The very first, you straight away arrest it, aware already. Then you want to relax and allow it to be, it can be. But when you are in a state of bhavanga, you need very strong sense data impringement, understand? Like somebody shout at you, or call you, or push you, understand? Then that one is called the, they call it what? Don't know what type of consciousness. Then imprinting, I think it's imprinting. Imprint upon the stream. Imprinting. Then after that, there are a few top moments, very fast. Then they come to the seven. There are seven top moments where you make that mental intention, the Buddha said. There are seven. That mental intention can happen within this seven. They call it javanas. No need to remember the word. Remember the talk. Because all these notes, you realize, become irrelevant. When you listen and take the note, that's why you must do the transcript. It will help you. What happened is, if it's the first javana, the Buddha say, it can only happen this life, when there is condition. If there is no condition, that karma will cease to be. If it's the last javana, the seventh javana, it will only carry on to the next life. In next life, no condition, also karma cease to be. But most people make the intention on the second and the sixth. And that one follow you for eternity, the Buddha said. It is not cancelled off anyway. Never. It's always with you. Even Arahant also. That's why Mongan, Angulimala. And you know what the Buddha told him? Even Mangalana also later on. But Angulimala, especially the Buddha, remind him. He said, be patient. Endure. He said, this is better than taking all this in hell for don't know how many 60,000 years or what. He said, this is the condition for you to clear those type of karmic thing. Yeah. So because of that, if you create karmic negativity that is on this second and sixth, it will never go away. It will always follow you. Even you go to hell, it will still be there. And you still reap what you sow. You experience all the severe suffering. Because when you kill people, harm people, you cause all this mental agony and misery, you doesn't know. Karma is you reap what you sow. So you have to experience whatever mental agony and suffering, fear, worry, anxiety, and phobia that you cause to living beings. So this is what karma is all about. You cannot play a fool. So what Mi Feng shared is very good. Then the part which I so far haven't shared before was what she described as, if you only cultivate nominal goodness, means you like have a little bit of merits, means your clear water is like one cup on the sana. But all the negative karma, every life you commit so much, so instead of putting sugar in your cup of coffee, you put salt inside there. Because this negative karma is like salt. Until the salt is so salty, you know, bearable or not. You are in that environment, you know, born of your karma, heir to your karma condition, and supported by your karma. You are what you are. You want that to happen to you. Otherwise, moment to moment, follow the advice of the Buddha. Cultivate Noble Eightfold Path. Keep your precept, avoid all evil, do good. So that you have pure water, no more salt going in. And then this clear, pure clear water, which are your merits, your wholesomeness, your good karma, they will become like a big pot or big pail. Then the same amount of salt, tada rasa again, in Malay. Because you can still drink from the pot. Life is still good. That's what the present moment is all about. Develop the condition for more and more of this clear water, pure water, merits, so that you will have less and less tendency. Yeah. Whatever that you have already committed and developed the karmic negativity, you can't change. That is your past. It's already gone. So avoid the condition, then the first and seventh chetana, they can never arise because it will cease to be. Then, second to sixth, no choice, you have to go through. But if you have wisdom, the moment it hit you, you understand, you ask for forgiveness, then it reverses very fast. This one is through my own personal understanding. The moment there is wisdom, karma ceases to affect you. But if you don't have the wisdom, it will continue to torment you until you wake up. That's why you ask Eric, 14 over years. But those have wisdom, immediately they know, they do what they need to do, then it reverses straight away. Yeah, I went through the test, I knew, I saw. Immediately it reverses. Yeah. So all this is very good. Okay, Mi Feng, you continue. Today the clock might never move. Very good.
Yeah, this last part is just a bit of the theory. There is something called Garuka Karma, which will definitely ripen even in whatever number of lives. And there are five. That's killing the mother, killing the father, cause the schism, killing an arahant and injuring the Buddha. Yeah. And that's why Monggalana, even though he was already an arahant, he still suffered and was killed. Yeah, even though he has psychic power and in the past life he has, I think, murdered his
blind parent.
Because of the wife.
Yeah, the wife. So this one is very true. The five heavy karma, they call matricide, then causing Sikhism to the Sangha. Then the fourth one is when you kill an arahant. Then the last one, it seems they say you cannot kill a Sammasambuddha. You can only harm a Sammasambuddha. So if you commit any of these five, they are called heavy karma, very heavy. Cannot run. Sadhu, let us rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. With what Mi Feng has shared. Thank you so much. Now you can continue with your question. Answer all, yeah.
It's just that I've always wondered.
Before I came into Buddhism, I've always thought the word karma is so fatalistic because it's I cannot go back to change, you see. So it's like you've got to accept how things are. So it's not something progressive that you can work on to change. But now that I get to see your time frame and you say the present and I get the, I understand the salt and the water, I think it's something we can work on.
Not only that, I share a few of these you cannot remember. Sir Francis Light. No, not the lighthouse. This one is a famous philosopher. He studied Buddhism. He studied very detailed, very deep. You know what he said or not? The past may condition us, but it does not. You use the wrong word. But it does not dominate over us. You understand the word? He described it so beautifully. Your past means your past karma condition you. You're born of your karma, heir to your karma, condition is a problem, and you are what you are because of your karma. So like you say, fatalistic means cannot change. Then why live life? Everything like predestined. No. It's only predestined when you are deluded and heedless. When you have the wisdom, that's why he used the word, the past conditioned us, but does not dominate over us. When you have the wisdom, it has got no power over you, because you won't suffer. That's why it will reverse itself. Then it does not dominate over you, because moment to moment now, you can cultivate. You can reverse all this. Then when you are sensitive, you can see the sign. Then you can avoid them from arising. So all this is within the teaching. Understand? That's why I say all the books that try to like promote Buddhism and express all the good thing about Buddhism, despite what they have said, they haven't done justice to the real Dhamma, I tell you. That's why next Tuesday you want to listen, you come. Well, last Tuesday I let Alicia lead, and they discussed the teaching of the Buddha. Then the author keep on saying, because they asked this question, is Buddhism a philosophy? Is Buddhism a religion? Then he tried to promote Buddhism and all those things. Yet, despite what he has said, he has not done proper justice to the true teaching, the Dhamma. It's a lot more than this. What the Buddha has realized is really, really very, very unique, very beautiful, very marvelous, and very wonderful. And it can summarize to you all of life, both the mundane and the supramundane, the conditioned and the unconditioned, which the world has never heard before, which the world has never understood before, especially the field of consciousness. Consciousness is very wide field. What the scientists only know is just a very tiny, limited thought process. Understand? The mundane mind, the thinking mind, consciousness and its content, even the content, they haven't gone in deep. They haven't developed the understanding. But they got a lot of equipment to tell you which part of the brain responsible for what. That one, they're very good. They can even give name to all the brain, the type of cells and all those things. But the Buddha, 2,600 over years ago, through meditation and awareness, he saw all this. And he even saw the unconditioned, the pure awareness, without its content, the stillness of mind, the tranquility of mind, the silent mind, that true mind, that nature, it sees. That's why he experienced the unconditioned Nibbana. All this, people never understood. The author also cannot describe all this.
When we talk about the right viewer, now we are so diverse in our way of looking at things. So my view may differ from your view, you say.
The Buddha's right view is not about your view, my view, his view. These are your individual's belief system, understand? These are not right view. Right view is the universal law, understand? He teach you three types of spiritual law.
Okay.
What are they?
Is it a sila, moral? Sorry.
That one is Noble Eightfold Path. Right view with regards to the law of karma, the first powerful spiritual law. All of life are governed by that, life and existence, by the law of karma, moral causation. That's how you function as a human being, your mind, citta niyama. The nature's order of mind, understand how mind behaves. Then the last one is Dhamma Niyama. Niyama is order. Dhamma means truth, all of truth. Right view with regards to all the truth, the teaching that he has taught. These three are universal truth that governs life and existence. That's why they are very powerful. That's why you have this type of thought. Oh, brother, my thought, my view and your view all different. Everybody view different. So, which is right view? Oh, you ask like that, of course. Nobody can answer you. Everybody will be arguing. That's not right. But the Buddha is not interested in your view, my view. Well, these are your own version. How you perceive it. Your views and your opinion based on your conditioning and your belief system, your memory. These are not truth. Truth is, what is truth? Whatever that can explain the way things are, is the truth, isn't it? That's why this law of karma can explain the way things are. Moral causation. You can investigate on it. It never go wrong. That's why it's a truth. It's not the Buddha's truth. He said the Dhamma was there before him. He only came to realize it through the meditation. That's why this teaching is very different. It's not based on philosophy, ideology, somebody's thought. Understand? This is beyond thought, beyond mind. Then beyond your mundane understanding also. That's why this Dhamma, the Buddha say, can only be realized by who? So you are not awakened yet. You cannot, technically, you cannot understand. You can only realize it when you have the wisdom. That's why it can only be realized by the wise. That's why it's Pachetang. Okay? Maybe let Eric continue. Oh, no more idea. Oh, okay. So very good. I understood. Sadhu. So his question, the first one, ego, is very powerful, lead to all this. For you, it takes a while, but don't worry, you will have the condition to understand it. As long as you have faith, then you cultivate. And tell yourself, if Eric can, I also can. That's why I say in the retreat, you hold me. Correct?
I'm stupid.
No. You hold me, that's why you more slow. Because you suffer not enough. You have gone into depression like him for 14 years. I tell you, you move very fast. Every description, because you hold me, nothing inside the head. This is what they call Wu Ling Kao So. The enlightened one got nothing on. They don't carry anything on. Because their mind is non-grasping, understand or not? They cannot hold. That's why sometimes, split second, I have to ask you, how did I come to this point? I cannot remember what are the conditions, because it cannot hold onto anything. Up there, non-grasping. This moment, the nature have the condition that it come out. After it come out, I also don't know how did I end up something else, describing to you all the thing. But I know there is a reason. Then somebody will remind me, then I can straight away continue from there. And that's why sometimes I have to ask you, how did I come to this point? But tonight one straightforward. Because tonight one nothing difficult, all mundane. Understand. But not bad. Wa. Last Thursday you did very well. You somehow draw the flow chart. A lot of people were very impressed. Sahadu. No, because last Thursday I remember you were very, very spirited. Spirited because you find it so interesting. Wow, a lot of things go in. That's why you keep on writing your note. Then go back the next day and receive the outline already. Then I knew you starting to understand. Make a lot of sense. So today one not first noble truth, not much sense. You ask Eric different. Today one make hell of sense.
Today I had four depression games.
Oh, sadhu. Well, later on you can handle them all. You must learn from Eric. No more tired after that. You still tired means you haven't had the clarity. You understand this one, cannot tire. You ask me for Suyan Deo and see. Every time I speak Dhamma, the energy come on. I don't do anything. I become more energized. My nature. Then my nature open up. That one is from the Monday mind, the thought, the nagging. But that one not so bad. The remorse is the worst. Oh, very good. Cry, then tissue paper. So you bought a lot of tissue paper. Wow, very wise now. Avoid the condition. You should tell your husband next time, honey, today I really had a bad day. I think I deserve a good dinner. He dare not say no. Then if the dinner is good, I will talk to you on it. Then as you talk to him, you will learn. Yes, you will learn. You say, ayo, that first case, he like that. Then suddenly the Dhamma come in. I should have told him like that. Or I should have told her like that.
Sadhu.
Proud of yourself. Very good. Very good. You want to have a life of suffering or misery? It's your life. Nothing to do with me. If you don't change, you will continue to be like that. You come to me for solution, isn't it? You better listen. If you don't listen, you're wasting your time. Then if you continue to argue, because depressed people want to tell you their story, the tape recorder keep on running, you know what you tell here? You are not listening. Just like the Penang lady, I say, you are not listening. I repeated 3 times. See? Alarm. Sadhu. But today the time like very slow. We discuss so much Dhamma, so beautiful. Like slow down for you all. Let us rejoice. This time loud one. Sadhu. Then you should all thank Eric, Kiet Hun, and Mifong for the good contribution and the good question. So in this way, you have joy in your heart. Understand? Sadhu is to rejoice in people's wholesomeness, goodness. Then your mind states are beautiful. Then you have more and more of this joy, this happiness in you. And your cells within your physical body, they will have positive energy. Yeah, this joy is very important. When you have joy, you have peace, calmness. All this will come. Yeah, the joy will bring about all this. Then your faith will strengthen. Then after that, you will have the ability to meditate. When the faith come, the virya will come. Then sati come. Then peace will come. Awareness will come. Tranquility, stillness, clarity of mind, silence. All this will come. Then all the old baggage, negative thought, emotion, fear, worry, anxiety, so all this, they will be rooted out. That's how you transform. That's how you change. And it's so easy. The moment you understand, this is the one that caused me so much suffering and misery, and all because of the self-delusion, the ego. Why should I believe that? So easy, this form am I, not me, but subject to karma. The answer is there already. So this one you need to take care, because it is subject to karma. You take care of this fellow, which is the mind, take care of your life. As simple as that. Because without this form am I, you cannot experience karma. And if you don't train your mind, you cannot take care of mind cannot take care of karma. Then karma cannot take care of your life. You are born of it, had it. So the secret of the Buddha Dharma is to understand all this, which is not difficult. Then just work towards it. For me, after I understood this truth, I never waste any time cultivating all this. That's why I no need to refer anything. I can just explain to you. Because this all has become so clear and all already rooted out long ago. And it went through life, experienced life. And because of the condition, things start to happen. A lot of things have started to happen. Only living being doesn't realize. Only the cultivator can feel and realize what is going on. So this is going to be a force to be reckoned. Yeah, the Kalamita force is going to take off. This year onward is going to be very strong, especially after our recent retreat. That's why I said the retreat. You remember how many of you took the Bodhisattva vow? And many of them come and tell me, even Ingvi also told me, say, Brother Teo, this year different. I took it with so much confidence. No more doubt. Because that book came out, the blue book. And I read from that book the important thing. And you remember I asked you, want to go the Bodhisattva way or not? Straight away you answer, get who knows, so very loud, yes! Because the mind state are so beautiful, understand? Huh? And it's all clearly stated there. And how it can help you to walk this path of Dhamma so easily, successfully, without having you to do anything. The vow will take you along. Your affinity with the great beings will take you along. Your understanding will take you along. And all this is so beautiful. Okay? Rejoice, Omotai, sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, now we recall to mind all of the wholesomeness that you all have done. Today, really beautiful. All of you are very beautiful. Then we are going to share these merits and transfer this merit with all beings, starting with the devas. Akka satta cha bhubata Devanaga Mahindika Punyang Tang Anamoditwa Chirang Rakantu Loka Sasana Etawata Chamehi Sampadan Punya Sampad Sape Deva Anamodantu Sabba Sampati Sidiya Idang Menyatinang Hotu Sukita hontu nyatayo, emiang me nyati dang hotu, sukita hontu nyatayo, idang me nyati dang hotu, sukita hontu nyatayo, emina punya kamena, mame bala samagamo, satang samagamo hotu, Yawa Nivana Patiya Sadhu Sadhu Sadhu. Okay, pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha and other worthy ones.
Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.
Sadhu to his brother Jinhao for catching Brazil and his skill.
Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.
Sadhu to brother Xi'an and sister Meho for inviting us to their beautiful homes to listen to the Buddha Dhamma.
Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.
Sadhu to all of you for being here tonight and also for all the Buddha offering.
Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.
You're not pregnant, there's a lot of people.